Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by 127games.com, home of the cheapest Access and Allies miniatures. Find them at 127-games.com.
Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network to discuss historical and New England gaming. This is episode 125, the Holiday Gift Guide 2014. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are back with another holiday gift guide for your listening pleasure. Hopefully, whether you are the Wargamer who needs to send some ideas for others to make purchases for you, or maybe you want to make a purchase for a Wargamer in your life for the holiday season, this gift guide is going to make your life easier because, like previous years, there's three categories with suggestions per category. The categories are broken down by price, so no matter how much or how little you're able to afford, you should be able to find something fantastic for that special Wargamer in your life. And I am joined this time around by a very special guest. He's been on many, many times to share his ideas for some purchases for your gift guide buying season. I am, of course, referring to the one and only Mr. Aaron Bostrom. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
I am very excited about this, not least of all because, as you said just before we started recording, it's taken about an hour for us to get all the tech stuff worked out. So I'm just glad that we're able to actually talk and hear each other as we're doing this.
So far, so good now.
So this is, I lost track, this is probably the third or fourth year in a row that I've done this. And about a few years ago, I discovered it's a lot more fun to do this if I have someone else on the show sharing some ideas and their own, because otherwise, I mean,
otherwise, you just talk the whole time, yeah.
I do, and I do that all the time. So it's more fun when there's someone else on board, and I'm really looking forward to hearing what your suggestions are for the different categories. About a week ago, I think it was, you and I were emailing back and forth about today's recording, and I was like, oh, crap. I gotta actually come up with things for my list. Let's see, what would be good to put on the gift guide for me? And so, like, I put up Word, and I'm typing away, and I'm looking online. What about this? I don't know, maybe. Oh, this will be good. And it's a lot of work.
I think the key is I was trying to come up with some things that could work for a variety of people and not just create my own wish list.
That's, I think, one of the hard things because you can spend a lot of time thinking, oh, I really could use this and this and
yeah,
this.
Exactly.
And that might be helpful to other people, but they have to be pretty identical to you, you know, you and what you like. So that makes it a little difficult.
Yeah. I tried to avoid doing anything 18th century musket and tomahawk kind of thing to it. Yeah, I got a variety of stuff. So
you'd be surprised. Musket and tomahawk is becoming even more and more popular these days. So
there's actually a group they've been posting stats online. There's a group that is doing a campaign of muskets and tomahawks, and there's like 18-20 players involved in it, and they're doing like campaign seasons where they're playing series of games and then actually tallying up points, and officers are being promoted and everything. It's pretty cool.
That's amazing. The only musket and tomahawk games that I've played have been one-off kind of things or ones at conventions. So I think it's a system that really thrives on the whole campaign setup.
Yeah, it's just a matter of, for me, trying to get some of my Warhammer Fantasy local players to dive into the history side of things. So it will happen. It will happen. I'm slowly pulling them in and undermining their fantasy interests. So, all right, shall we get started?
Yes, if you're a listener and this is your first time listening to one of the holiday gift guides, allow me to explain how it works. But first, I want to let you know that everything that's in the holiday gift guide, whether it's on Aaron's list or mine, will appear in the show notes for this episode. You can find those show notes online at wargamingforums.com/WR125. That's wargamingforums.com/WR125. And everything will be broken down according to the different categories. There'll be links so you can click on and make your purchases online if you wish or find out more information. Some of those links will be affiliate links, which means it doesn't cost you anything extra. But by using those links, you help out the show because the vendors do a little kickback towards us, thanking us for sending some business their way. So the gift guide itself is pretty formulaic nowadays. There are three categories. There's an under $20 category, there's an under $50 category, and then there's a category for items $100 and above. And then in each of the categories, Aaron and I have chosen three items. So I have three products for under 20. Aaron has three for that as well. Same for under 50 and then also for 100 and above. So why don't we get started with the most affordable items, the ones that are $20 or below. And I'm going to go ahead and kick off because, well, I'm talking right now. So the first one I want to mention, and these aren't in any particular order. They're not like, this is my number one choice or whatever. But the first item I want to mention, it's a computer game. It's called Ultimate General Gettysburg. It costs $14.99. You can buy it on Steam, which means it'll work on your Mac. It'll work on your Windows machine. And I think it also works on Linux. Now, Aaron, did you ever play way back in the day the old Sid Meier's Antietam or Gettysburg computer games?
I believe I played the Gettysburg one. Yes. That was a number of years ago.
I'm going to presume that you enjoyed it or maybe loved it. And maybe I'm wrong, but most people who played that seem to find something about it that they really like. The Ultimate General Gettysburg reminds me a lot of that. It's not identical to it. And the person who made the game, they're actually an indie game designer. They made it because they have a love for the Total War series of computer games, you know, Total War, Rome 2, and Shogun 2, and so forth. It doesn't actually remind me of those games, but this is really cool, first of all, because it's cheap. $14.99 for a computer game, how can you beat that? Yeah, you're lucky to buy models for $14.99, right? But this gives you the entire battle. You can pick whatever side you want. You start off and work your way through the campaign, or there are individual one-shot, kind of like what-if scenarios we can do. And then you can make it as difficult as you want. The way the game does it is it allows you to choose what kind of character traits you want the opponent general in charge to be. How cautious are they going to be? How aggressive? How creative? Will they just do direct frontal assaults? Will they just sit behind their defensive emplacements and wait for you to come for them? So it gives you a lot of leeway in customizing for that. So that's my first one in my under $20 category. The second one I have, this is a repeat from last year, and I gotta say, this one never gets old. It's partly encouraged by my love of Hail Caesar. So I'm referring to the 1/72 scale plastic models by Hat Industry. They cost $7.50 a box. You get about 40 or 50 guys. They're plastic that's 20 millimeter. It's a soft plastic, so it's something to keep in mind. I recommend getting them from Hobby Bunker in Malden, Massachusetts. If you don't live in Massachusetts, don't worry, because you can order online and the bunker will send them to you. Hat makes really good models. They're very affordable. And so you can get all sorts of stuff. They have Napoleonics. They have ancient Rome. They got World War I, World War II. They got it all. It's fantastic, and they're always updating their mold lines. And then the third item on my list, kind of a departure from what the other two are. It is Cards Against Humanity, $25 being your Amazon affiliate link can get you the game. So I've mentioned before, and I know I told you, Aaron, that my wife Tricia loves Apples to Apples.
And Apples is appropriate for children. Cards Against Humanity, maybe not so much.
Maybe. I was playing a game with this, my first game of it, and next thing you know, I don't even remember what one of the cards was, but like Hitler gets brought up, and then there's like teddy bears, and then something awful is being done to something else, and it was hilarious, but it really is a game intended for adults, but it's one of those great party games. It doesn't cost a lot, you can pick up easily, and just people will have a good time with it. So I think everyone should have a copy. I don't yet, so if someone listening happens to be thinking, I need to buy a gift for Joe. I don't know why one of you would be. Maybe my wife's listening or whatever. Hint, hint, buy me Cards Against Humanity. $25 on Amazon.
Yeah, I know. I know several of the gamers in my group own that. So I have played that quite a bit.
What do you have in your under $20 category?
Well, it's funny because now I'm kind of reminiscing about that Sid Meier's Gettysburg game. The big thing I remember that's different from Total War is Total War, you move around the battlefield, and then when you come back to unit, they're like running away. Like things are, the tides of battle change so quickly in the Total War series. But the Sid Meier game was definitely like that kind of thing where you're like, you know, you try to get a regiment to charge, and it's just like, no, they're too tired right now. Like, they just got done fighting. Yeah, like, let them rest for half an hour. The the game you mentioned though, does it have like a speed up factor to it where when things get slow, you can kind of speed up the tempo, and then when things get intense, you can slow it back down?
Unfortunately, it does not. You can pause the game. I have to say, it breaks the whole battle down so that you have smaller chunks of it. So, for example, it'll start on day one at, you know, whatever 100 hours it is. And besides, you're just kind of coming together. So you play each smaller section of it. It doesn't give you the whole map, so to speak, and say, this is all your stuff. Do what you want. And then you play it. So it really allows you to build off of what you had done. So if you do really well in one battle and you're playing the next battle that happens after it, it knows, did you meet your objectives? Did you take the big round top? Did you fail to get that? Are you still stuck over in the peach orchard or whatever? And then it'll take that into account, and it also takes into account what forces you have and what the conditions were. So if your army is getting really beat, you're not going to be in such good condition when subsequent battles, sections of the battle start.
Sounds cool. I'm definitely going to have to check that out. Yes. So for my under $20 list, the first thing I have, and I wrote this list actually before episode 124 came out, and it made me reminisce while listening to that, how I started listening to Wargaming Recon, because of the references you'd done a couple years ago about paper wargaming, paper terrain in specific. But I really got into the Dave Graffin models, and on Wargame Vault, they have not only models by this designer, but a variety of designers. The really cool thing I like about the Dave Graffin models is that they're layered PDFs, so you can actually print out like the same building template, but print one out as a brick and another one as like a clapboard, and have several different looking buildings all from the same template. But the really great thing is that there's several models on there that are available for free. And if someone is looking for a gift and they really don't have any much, well, I don't want to say any, because you do need a printer, and ink isn't always cheap, but it's definitely a time investment and a labor of love. But those Dave Graffin models are great for anything that's like 17th, 18th century warfare, probably at the latest, but definitely has a very medieval look. Could totally work with a fantasy setting, but also with historicals too. And then I have been thinking a lot about accessories lately, and dice bags. Fantasy Flight Games has a series of dice bags, and I think they're pretty much all the same dice bag, but they have different graphics on them. And as you may know, Jonathan, Fantasy Flights has a licensing for a couple different things, including your beloved Star Wars. And so they have dice bags that have logos from, you know, the Empire, the Rebellion, the Boba Fett mercenary logo. They've got the Warhammer logos, I think, for the different Chaos Gods, a whole variety there. And they're like $7.95 each on Fantasy Flight Games. And then along the same lines with the accessories, I've been seeing a lot of those carry on, British t-shirts where it says something like carry on and make more tea, or, keep calm. Keep calm and carry on is the original thing. I've seen so many alternatives or varieties on that. But there's a t-shirt that I thought was cute that basically says keep calm and focus on wargaming. And that's like $16.95 on Cafe Press. Great thing for a wargaming gift for someone who is into wargaming but doesn't necessarily need to wear specific faction or type of game on his sleeve.
I want to echo those Dave Graffin stuff. I just recently had noticed that on top of his array of print and play buildings, as I like to call them, a lot of people refer to them as, you know, paper terrain, he has a bunch of what he's calling like maps or ground tiles, so that easily print out 2D things like a bunch of crops, you know, that are growing in a field, or you can print out like cobblestone streets and stuff. And
the cobblestone streets are great too, because he's even got the PDF layers where you can add like sewer grates or manhole covers or sidewalks. They're pretty awesome.
Like that stuff, you can use that for anything from Mordheim, depending on what scale you print it to stuff like Bolt Action or whatever. And then I know there's a new Napoleonic game coming out from, his name, he did Maurice and Longstreet and
Mustafa?
Yes, Sam has this new one coming out where you don't even need to use models. He's doing cards. So it'll be entire units in full, beautiful color on cards. Kind of like, I'm not sure if listeners are familiar with, there's a game called Battleground put out by Your Move Games, and they have, but it's all 2D things where you have entire units and so forth. And then they have a historical version of it as well. But like this terrain would work for that. It would work just to kind of get you going and figure out placement and everything. Even if you were to create something 3D later on. And on his site too, a really cool thing is that, like you said, a lot of it is free, but even the stuff that's not, it's very affordable. And he has a bunch of things that there's this cool new pay method that a lot of places online are trying to use called pay what you want, where you can choose to get the thing for free. But let's say you think it's worth more money, then you could say, you know, I think it's worth 12 or 15 bucks. I really like what you're doing. And you could pay more to that, and then Dave would get whatever you think the value is of it. So he has a bunch of that kind of stuff that's available that you can do. So that's kind of cool too. And I like how you're thinking about, like, the category limit is, you know, under $20. I've never ever thought about, like, let's figure out something that's not going to really cost you any money. And I like that you went there with that because, you know, times continue to be hard for people. And gifts shouldn't be about how much you spend. It should be about the thoughtfulness behind it. And I think someone taking the time to print one of these out, to buy it, to make it maybe for someone to give it to them, I think that's very...
Yeah, on that note, Jonathan, my wife and I are in the process of moving house, and we're just both looking at this figure that she had made me for a few years ago for a Christmas gift, and it's actually a Mouse Guard character that she made out of, like, aluminum foil and clay and Sculpey and paint and shoe polish, and she made a little cloak out of colored felt, and it actually looks really awesome. I'm actually try to get you to post a picture on there as something that could look really cool that she totally made up. Yeah. Lots of ideas out there for that kind of thing.
You know, some people think it's just a bunch of crap when someone's like, oh, you know, it doesn't really matter. It's a thought that counts, or like homemade gifts are the best. But they usually have a story behind them, and they stick with you, with your memory, a lot longer than just a gift card or whatever. And there's value in all that other stuff too. But if there's like meaning behind what you're giving someone else, I think it makes it more special, whether it's something you bought in a store or something you made yourself.
Yeah, because I don't necessarily remember which of my miniatures my wife bought me or I bought myself. So.
It's hard.
But I definitely remember where that Mouse Guard character came from.
Well, you can tell that it means something special to you.
Indeed. So we want to move to our next category?
We do. It's the under $50 category. So like the under 20, we each have three items in there. No, well, for me anyway, they're no particular order. Some of these, of course, when you go to the show notes, they have links to them, and some of them will be affiliate links, so keep that in mind. Just kind of to let you know that, hey, you know, you make a purchase, it's not costing you extra, but the vendor might do a kickback to say thanks for sending some business that way. The first one I want to mention, it made my list last year. It's something I have, and I think it's amazing. Every single wargamer needs to have a copy of this, and if you don't, you need to buy one. If someone doesn't buy it for you, just suck it up and buy a copy for yourself. The price has dropped tremendously since it first came out. I'm referring to what some people call the Bible when it comes to wargaming. Of course, it is Henry Hyde's Wargaming Compendium, $38.35 via Amazon, our affiliate link. It is one of the best books, in my opinion, when it comes to wargaming. And like, I'm a huge fan of the classic British wargaming stuff by Charles Grant and, of course, Featherstone. I think Henry's book stands up there with them. I think it's a modern version of as good as what they had created back then. It's gorgeous. It's easy to use. It's informative. It's accessible. And the writing is beautiful. That's not something you'd find with like a I guess someone may think of it more like a textbook kind of thing, but it flows really well. There's just like this nice rhythm and cadence and style to Henry's writing. Everything he does.
It's a very enjoyable read. Yes, I'll concur with that.
I gotta say, it took me a while to get around to starting to read it. I'm still not done with it. I read a huge chunk and then I kind of jumped around to see, oh, what's he say about this section, about this and that? And the next thing you know, he wrote something else and the blog post and this and that. But it is like, you don't need to read it all the way through the first time, or maybe you do and then you just go back to it. But it's something you should have with you, keep in the car, bring with you to conventions and tourneys and game days and trade shows, because you will find that it's going to be useful when you least expect it. And it's under $40 American. So it's not going to break the bank. I think it's downright affordable. And do you know what? If I had the money, I would buy a copy for every single person I knew. Cause this is my second favorite thing on my entire list. In case people can't tell.
I was going to put it on my list, but I was pretty sure you were going to put it on yours.
You should have. We could be like, look, we got it together on the list. Isn't this great? It'll be honorary mention on yours, right?
Well, I actually put it on there, like, and the note is, in case Jonathan doesn't mention, swap this out with number 3.
That's too funny. The second thing I have in this category, it's a board game that I've been talking a fair bit about recently on the Wargaming Recon social media, Facebook in particular, and it also made an appearance at the recent Extra Life 24-Hour Gameathon, which I will, of course, talk more about in the Extra Life 24-Hour Gameathon episode. But the game is 1775 Rebellion. It's by Academy Games, $51.65 via Amazon, the affiliate link. I know technically that's over $50, but I mean, it's $1.65 over. So
that's a great price for that game. I bought that game. I played it several times. That's a great game. And one of those games I played with a 14-year-old too. So it's not you have to be a really technically minded, a war gamer. Not to mention the fact that usually game lasts maybe an hour, hour and a half.
It kind of reminds me a little bit like Risk, but not as boring.
Right, exactly.
Because like Risk, after a while, it's the same darn thing. And after a while, you're like, really? Is the game over? What's happening? But with this, you never know what's going to happen. Because as anyone who's ever played, say, Axis and Allies knows, you have to do certain things at certain times in order to win. Even with the new version. Otherwise, there's no hope, and then you give up and you flip the table in anger. You have that rage quit going on. But with this, you don't, because there's a random turn sequence, so you don't know when, for example, the British army is going to go. You don't know when the American militia is going to go. You just pull the colored token out of a bag, and whatever one comes out, it's their turn, and they do stuff. There's cards, you move little cubes around the board that remind me of the cubes from Pandemic, so it has that nice feel to it, the good quality, it's gorgeous. And I've tried playing it solo. There's no actual solo version of it, but I managed to play it solo pretty decently. I need to do it a few more times, but I think I might do an entire episode on how you can play 1775 Rebellion on your own for those of us who either prefer that or don't have anyone nearby to play it. And then the last one on my list is another game. It's called D-Day Dice by Valley Games, $33 via our Amazon affiliate link. It's an interesting take on a dice game. So you get all the dice you have in there, and they represent different players. So there's like a color for Americans, there's a color for Canadians, there's a color for Brits and so forth. Every player is playing cooperatively. So if one player loses, you all lose. If one player wins, you all win. The goal is to get up the beach on D-Day. And you have these little, they're almost kind of laminated hard cardboard map sort of things, and you have to move up, and there's cards that give you specialists. You take damage from machine gun nests. You can buy equipment like bazookas and Bangalore torpedoes and things like that, and you roll dice to see what combination symbols on your different colored dice you'll get for different things, and you can get special bonuses and so forth, and some of those you can share with your fellow players. It's not an easy game, but it's a lot of fun. It's one you can play quickly, and for $33, it's another one of those you need to carry with you. So just pull it out. It should be a staple in every Wargamer's bag. What do you have for us for under $50?
All right. First thing I have is the Saga Dark Ages rules. There's a new edition of this game. Came out a couple years ago. and it is Dark Ages skirmish. It kind of seemed to take things by storm. I went to a wargaming convention where they had a tournament for Saga, and there's a new edition, but it's got a twist to it. It's called Crescent and Cross. It's from Gripping Beast, and it's basically the Crusades in the Holy Land. And it's the Knights Templar is a faction. There's a whole bunch of different factions for it. I think it's got four factions in the book, and it's a hardcover book. It's got some really nice illustrations. And in the States, it's available on the Architects of War website. My second one on the list is a slight departure. I've been playing a lot of role-playing games lately, and there are some strong connections between role-playing games and tabletop miniature games, although some war gamers won't admit to it, and other role players won't admit to that connection either. But I've been playing a lot of Star Wars role-playing, and I really enjoy the Fantasy Flight system they have. They came out a couple of years ago with Edge of the Empire, and they've expanded to dealing with Force-sensitive, basically Jedi Knights, and they just came out with the beta rules in at Gen Con this last August, and for $29.95 they have the beta book, and it basically is, you know, some more affordable version. It is a beta book, but it's mostly, they've done this twice before with the same system, and the beta book is pretty much 99% what you're going to see in the finished product. It just doesn't have as much in the way of graphic art and illustration, but it's still a really nice book. And I'm probably not going to buy the hardcover when it comes out in the spring, but already my local role-playing group is really excited about the prospect of playing Jedi Academy students. Everybody's going to be basically a 14-year-old character fleeing from Imperial agents trying to hunt them down. And for my third slot, I have a gift certificate for FLGS. And I know this one is not one that you can actually put a link to go to a specific place. I'm really excited about a new gaming store that opened in my community almost a year ago. They're going to be celebrating their first year open on November 15th. And the really cool thing is that half of their stock is comic books, and they get a lot of the comic nerds coming in and helping to keep the lights on and the doors open. But the other half is miniature gaming material, paints and supplies, along with board games. And of course the card games too. But, I really love hanging out at that place. I would probably live there if it wasn't for the fact that I have cats that need to be fed and a wife to come home to. But, it's great. And
you don't have to sound so disappointed about that.
It's one of those places that I really get excited about supporting my local store by trying to send business their way. Occasionally I'll run into someone who thinks they sell video games. But I usually try to encourage them to try picking something up like Pandemic or Shadows Over Camelot. There's a lot of great board games. If you have a friendly local gaming store in your area, at this point in the economy and everything, you're extremely lucky. And if you can't think of something specific in mind for someone, I would suggest going down and picking up a gift certificate.
It's interesting how you mentioned the link between role-playing games and wargamers, because people might forget that Gary Gygax, who is often referred to as one of the fathers of role-playing games, of course D&D in particular, that he helped to develop a miniatures war game before D&D, and this war game, Chainmail, a lot of that, especially the combat aspects of it, were put into the first edition of D&D. So people who don't think they're connected, they are. And of course, in even other ways besides that, but that's the most concrete one I think a lot of people could refer to.
Indeed, we could actually probably do a whole episode on that topic.
It would definitely be interesting, and it kind of ties into one of the items that I have in my $100 and above category. So the first item I have in here is another repeat. And yes, I realize this will make my third repeat from previous years, but that just goes to tell you how good these things are, and that if you ever made use of them before, you need to, and if you already did, you should do it again, because they're just really, really good. So this one is specific to one location, although you could use it for just about any such type of thing. I'm suggesting that people, especially those who live anywhere on the Eastern Seaboard, of course, New England would be the easiest, but I know people who make use of this all the way down to Maryland and DC and even further south, should come up to Massachusetts in February, and they have this every year, and attend TotalCon. TotalCon, it only costs $40 to pre-reg for the convention, but to stay at the hotel where the con is, it's $95 a night with a special room rate, so you're talking $135 and above. It has a variety of really cool things that people can make use of. How does this tie into D&D and wargaming? Well, it is New England's largest gaming convention. There's a lot of board games that happen, a lot of role-playing games. And two of their very special guests are people with strong ties to D&D. I'm referring to Frank Mentzer and Tim Cass. So they are individuals, for people who know anything about D&D, the names stand out. They work with TSR. They work with Gygax. One of them was, I think, the very first editor of Dragon Magazine. They continue to make old school type role playing games, and they love wargaming, and they're just into all that kind of stuff. It's a blast. It's my number one favorite gaming convention. It's not, you know, a historical gaming convention, and in the broadest sense of the word wargame, it's a wargaming convention. But they just have such a great variety of things to do. It's a lot of fun, and I look forward to it every year. I'm actually very sad that I won't be able to go for the entire thing for 2015. I'll probably just, if I'm lucky, I'll be able to pop in for a little while, because the convention happens to be around the same time that my wife is due with the birth of our first child, who I'm hoping to bring if the baby comes early enough for the convention. But you figure $135 to go to a con is cheap, and even if you have to travel, the cost of the airfare, or if you're driving or whatever, it still makes it worthwhile. The con's 4 days, starts on Thursday, ends on a Sunday, and it is just so much fun. Chances are, you guys have cons near you, so they're going to be good ones just about anywhere where you go. I, of course, am strongly urging that you go to TotalCon, just because it's fantastic for a variety of reasons. I've done entire episodes on it. The second item on my list ties into some of the stuff you talked about, Aaron, with Fantasy Flight Games, rather. I am suggesting that people make use of the Star Wars X-Wing Tantive IV expansion pack. It sells for $62.28 via our Amazon affiliate link. I know it's not 100, but if you go to a local game store, that's $89.99, and then you add in tax, and that's pretty darn close. So I hope people will give me a little leeway on this. It's hard coming up with things that are $100 or more. So I'm curious what you're going to have on yours. A word to the wise, though, any of the X-Wing stuff is fragile, and should you put the Tantive IV onto its flight bases and decide to take it off to show a friend of yours, don't just pull it off like I did, because otherwise you break it. So you don't really want to waste your $62.28 or $89.99 depending on where you purchase it. Be very careful. Treat it like a newborn child. Gentle is the word. And then the final thing on my list, not gaming per se, but it's more of a facilitator for your gaming needs. I am strongly urging people to consider getting a membership with Amazon Prime. It costs $99 a year. Word to the wise, they take that all in one go. I thought they divided it out over, you know, X number of months. You pay $100 right away. On the plus side, you get access to free streaming video, free streaming audio. You can play it on your mobile devices, on your computers. So in a way, it's kind of like Netflix, but better. Not as deep of a selection, but they have a really good one. And then the real amazing thing about it is that you get free 2-day shipping. It's unlimited number of free 2-day shipping. So you can order like a paintbrush for your models and say it's $4. And you order it, and next thing you know, you get it 2 days later. It didn't cost you anything to get it shipped. You can say, hey, I need some plastic glue. Fantastic. You could buy that X-Wing Tantive IV expansion pack that I mentioned, or any of the other things in the gift guide that you can purchase on Amazon. And with your Amazon Prime membership, free 2-day shipping, not so bad, especially when you need to do some shopping for other people for the holidays. So those are my final three And I realize only one of them is actually 100 or above, but feel free to give me crap.
All right. Well, my first item on this list is actually a little bit less than 100 bucks, but I have to mention this one. Sails of Glory. If you're looking for something for someone who's a big nautical gaming fan, for me, I grew up reading a lot of Horatio Hornblower novels, and then when I was older, the Patrick O'Brien Aubrey Matron series of novels set in the Napoleonic era Age of Sail. Sails of Glory is based on the Wings of Glory system. It uses cards for movement. It's more involved, more detailed. It really is a simulation in Age of Sail combat between frigates. It's not the kind of game that you want to set up the entire Battle of Trafalgar. But I know you're going to leave that in to make me look goofy, Jonathan.
Just have fun,
but,
right?
Right. But this is a fun kind of simulation. It's a good balance, I think, between simulation and a tabletop game. You get one or two ships on the table for each player, French on one side and English on the other side. They come with pre-painted miniatures. They're plastic, but they look really awesome and quite affordable for Age of Sail model ships. And they've got some cool little stat cards and the maneuver cards and templates and the whole thing. It was a Kickstarter they did a year ago that I signed on for, but they are now selling basically the starter box. And the starter box is really all you need to play. It's got two ships per side. So it comes with four ship models. And it's actually got the stats for the ships are reversible. So each model ship can represent two different ship classifications. It's generally a $90 box, but I know on Miniature Market they seem to have a good stock of it for right now. Last time I checked, it was $62.93. My second item, and it almost seems like I must be endorsing Fantasy Flight Games, but once again, this just came out. I think they, by the time this is out, it should be on store shelves. It's Imperial Assault, from Fantasy Flight Games. It's $99.95. And it basically is, a lot like Descent, and Dust Tactics wrapped into one. It actually is basically two different games. If you have two players, it seems like the perfect kind of thing for game night. If you only have two players, you can play the Rebels versus the Rebellion in kind of a Dust Tactics way, where you just kind of point cost out your forces and go head to head. If you have three or more players, you can play it Descent style, where one player is in control of the evil Imperial forces, and then the other players each take command of like a single Rebel special character and move through the corridors and the rooms of like a space station or a big battle cruiser and fight it out. And it's got some really cool looking miniatures on kind of a cardboard full color layout. Finally, my third pick is the Spartan Scenic starter set. It's $108. Spartan has been around for a number of years, and it's kind of got a soft spot in my heart for Spartan. They've done a variety of naval games that are a lot of fun, and they're breaking out into a Scenic line of products. And the Scenic starter set that I picked here is kind of like a variety of corridors and kind of sci-fi sort of design. And it would work with very well with like Warhammer 40K or Infinity, variety of science fiction skirmish games that are out now. And it pops together into different formats, and it looks really cool.
I wondered if you were going to have any Spartan games. Because, if this was like an R-rated show, the phrase I could use for someone who continually promotes a certain type of game in Company.
Well, and I was trying to make this one a little bit more generic. So this, the Spartan Scenics, it could work for, like I said, for somebody playing 40K. It's not their, one of their starter boxes. They're doing starter boxes for Dystopian Legions now and for Dystopian Wars, and about $105 is the range that they go for. But I just got the Operation Shadow Hunter starter box for Dystopian Wars, and I got it for a friend, and it's got a lot of stuff in it, a lot of different ships, and it's got the rules for the game and dice and everything you need.
A friend, right? Your wife must be around, and you don't really want her to know that.
Indeed.
It actually kind of reminds me a lot of the old Necromunda terrain, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is.
And I think you forgot to mention your honorable mention of the Wargaming Compendium by Henry Ives.
Yeah, I was going to switch that out with the gift certificate for the friendly local gaming store. I was pretty convinced you were going to mention that one.
You must know me so well. It's funny. I'm really glad that you mentioned the gift certificate too for the friendly local game store, because it's hard when you do like an internet radio or a podcast or whatever. Of course, we all shop at a local game store, or at least I hope we do, but it's really hard to share that with a wider audience and be like, hey, you should go to store XYZ and check out this event they're doing, or this game you should buy there, because then they might not have a store XYZ, or their store XYZ might suck. Like, so that's why I always resort to doing the online resources, but at the same time, I'm like, I really want to support the local store, be like, hey, go here. It's good. I think he found a good way to do it so that a lot of people tend to have a local game store where they can go to that they want to support or would want to support. And the gift certificate's a way to do it. And there's so many different things that Wargamers are into, and the game store can't stock them all. So it's not possible to be like, go to your game store and get this. Unless it's really popular or brand new, you're probably not going to be able to get it at whatever game store.
Yeah, I'm all about supporting the local game store as much as possible.
So I think that closes out our holiday gift guide for 2014. We've got a nice variety of items for people to get no matter what your interest might be. And there's a lot of really good stuff here. So I hope people will be able to make use of it, whether they need to buy a gift for someone else, or maybe they need to say someone else, hey, you know, this might be a cool gift for me. And that's really the purpose of all of this, to kind of just make life a little easier for everyone.
Yeah, well, thank you for including me on this, Jonathan. Thank you for, I really tried to get a variety of things that might hit a variety of interests while also secretly promoting my agenda for my love of all things Spartan and Fantasy Flight.
Yeah, you have some wonderful stuff on there. And of course, for all the listeners, you can check out everything in the show notes for this episode. As I mentioned, you can get to the show notes by heading on over to our website, wargamingforums.com/WR125. That's wargamingforums.com/WR125. So we will be back with the next segment of the show. It's going to be the mailbag, where I will share some recent feedback from all of you and what's going on down the road. But at this point, I just want to thank you for coming on the show and sharing your gift guide with all of us, Aaron. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Jonathan. It's been a pleasure for me as well.
It's always fun to have Aaron on the show. He's really great because he provides that fresh perspective, something outside of what I see. He's really in tune with the role-playing crowd and the board game crowd, so he's able to see what aspects of that might also appeal to regular miniatures and historical wargamers. Well, as I said right before we were going to transition to this next segment, want us to move on into the mailbag section. So this time around, I'm going to be highlighting a couple pieces of feedback that have come to us via our Twitter account. I know I talk a lot about our Facebook presence because that's very important. We try to at least once a day, if not twice a day, put some sort of content up on Facebook, a photo, question, something cool for you to look at. I'm not as active on Twitter, and that's my own fault because Twitter's a great platform for really cool conversations with a lot of people. Unfortunately, I just don't spend as much time there, but these two pieces of feedback show that I really should. So the first one comes from Twitter user @DrakePoleDragon. Originally, he sent me a message through our Facebook page, which you can do if you go to wargamingforums.com/Facebook. There's a way that you can message Wargaming Recon on there, and then I'll get the message, and I can reply. So this listener, who's fantastic, he sent a message there on Facebook, and he said, hey, do you have a Twitter account? Is there some way I can connect with you? So of course, and I gave him the Twitter username and how to connect that way. Then we just kind of chatted a little bit more on Facebook, but then he went over to Twitter, and he tweeted this message. Cool. I got my @CWFGamecast #ExtraLife2014 auction model today. He's stunning! Makes me feel even better about donating, smiley face. So thank you very much for the tweet. For those of you not familiar with Twitter, if you put an @ symbol in front of a string of characters, a name, something like that, that is the person's username. So for example, @DrakeHoleDragon is a user who tweeted, and @CWFGamecast is our username. Then the #ExtraLife2014 is kind of like a keyword search, except you can click on it, and it'll give you everything that appeared on Twitter that had that special keyword in it. So it's really cool that he was able to use our username so that it would pop up right in our feed, because I can get notifications whenever the name of the show, Wargaming Recon, or whether the Twitter username is used. And then, of course, the hashtag just makes it neat because it ties into everyone else who used that. So other people who are raising money for the Extra Life 2014 24-hour Gamathon could say, whoa, look at this. This is really cool. Check out what they're doing over at Wargaming Recon. Of course, huge credit has to go to listener Dave, who just took it on his own initiative to have that model that he painted and he owned and do the auction on eBay and everything. So just major thanks to him. And I'm so glad that @DrakeHoleDragon is the winner and that he's so excited about it. So thank you to both of you. Of course, Dave for doing the auction and the model, and @DrakeHoleDragon for doing the tweet. Love to hear from people. And then we have another tweet too. This is from @GlasgowWarGame. They tweeted, quote, less hyped than some U.S. offerings. Interview with Henry Hyde, very good. They said that Wargaming Recon podcast worth a listen. So thank you very much @GlasgowWarGame for the kind feedback. We try to, you know, tell things as they are. I get excited about stuff, of course, and there's always something new. So I see something cool and interesting and I want to share it with all of you. Although I don't know you guys and ladies personally, I feel like I kind of get to know you through your feedback, through your emails and your Facebook comments and your Twitter tweets and all that sort of stuff, that I kind of get to interact with you in your lives. And whenever you listen to an episode of Wargaming Recon, you get to hear me and I chat for an hour or so. So it's like we get to kind of know each other. And I don't want to lead you astray. So if there's a product that's fantastic, I want to tell you about it. If there's something that I think you should stay away from, I want to do that too. But I want to do it respectfully to all involved, because it takes a lot of work and effort to make these games and make these rules and everything. It's not easy. And I understand that. And yet, if something's not good, I want to say it's not good. And if something's great, I want to say, hey, it's great, go buy it. And that's part of what this episode's all about. The fantastic, wonderful holiday gift guide for 2014, because these are products that I think are great, and of course the ones that Aaron shared, ones that he thinks are just going to be amazing, whether they're for you, for a gift for yourself, or to tell someone to buy for you, or for you to buy for another wargamer in your life. It's always important to keep in mind that I'm trying to make life easier for all of you. Things that I've learned along the way, and I'm still learning, I'm young, you know, I'm only in my 30s, I have a long way to go before I can learn whatever there is I need to know. And that's also where you come in handy, because each of you has your own experiences and your own expertise that you can share. So I love to hear from you, whether it's just feedback saying, hey, I love what you're doing, or if it's a suggestion, like, hey, you know, I think you should do this because maybe I made a mistake somewhere, and you want to point it out and say, you know, I feel bad, but you kind of messed up and this is what you really meant. You should have done this. And I'll appreciate that. So that's why feedback is very important. Now, I want to let all of you know about a few announcements. First, there are no more guests officially scheduled for this podcast season. I mentioned in the last episode, it was a recast of episode number 2 of the show, that I'm still hoping to get the Sutherlands on, John and Diane, to talk about what happened with the closing of the Wargame Holiday Center in Crete. I'm still hoping that'll happen. But of course, by the time this episode reaches you, it's getting closer and closer to the end of 2014. So that makes it less likely that they'll actually be on for this podcast season. Notice I say this season, because I am already hard at work trying to schedule guests for the beginning of 2015. You might think I'm a little crazy. I got a baby on the way. Baby's due beginning of February of 2015. I know I'm going to be very busy once that little one arrives. So I'm trying to get as much as I can accomplished now so that way I can have it all set up and ready and just release it when I'm changing diapers or nappies, as you might say in the UK, and trying to get that little one to eat or go to sleep or whatever. So things that I can do now, I'm trying to do, and part of that is to schedule guests for episodes next year in 2015. But I also want you to remember that there are two brand new episodes still scheduled for the 2014 podcast season. The first one is the Extra Life 24-Hour Gamerthon. That'll be episode 126. That episode will go in-depth on the 24-Hour Gamerthon, the games I played, what I did, the fundraising, the who's, the whys, the hows, everything you wanted to know, and then some probably. So that'll be a very interesting episode with a lot of thank yous in there, because I want to express my gratitude to everyone who made it possible, whether you made a donation or spread the word or a support or however you were able to help me. And then for episode 127, I'm going to be looking back on the 2014 podcast season, the highs, the lows, all that sort of good stuff. And this is also the episode where I share the top 10 episodes of the year. Leading into this, I try to encourage the guests who were on the show to further promote their appearances and get their audiences to spread the word about the episodes and get new people to listen to them who may not have otherwise heard their episodes. And then I keep track and I do a little spreadsheet and charts and all that kind of cool stuff. And so I will talk about that also in the Looking Back on 2014 episode. And then finally, there will be two best of episodes. The first one will come out on December 22nd, 2014, which is my birthday. And then the second will be on January 5th, 2015. These two will be episodes that aired sometime in the 2014 podcast season, and they will be the two episodes that I consider amazing for different reasons that I want to share yet again with you. Why will you want to listen to these? Because the same thing you already heard, right? If you subscribe or you listen to everything in the past, you've already heard them. Well, the reason why is, before each of those, I'm going to give a commentary, a little brief blurb of information about the episode, maybe something I really liked, something that was unique or different, or some behind-the-scenes information that you'll only be able to get by listening to the episodes that release on December 22nd, 2014, and January 5th, 2015. And then the 2015 podcast season begins on January 19, 2015. So I want to thank all of you for listening to this episode. I hope you find the Holiday Gift Guide 2014 to be of a lot of help to you in your shopping for this holiday year. And I want to remind you that, of course, we'd love to hear you, love to get feedback from you. And one of the ways you can do that is to leave a review on iTunes. iTunes is the number one podcast directory on the internet. Someone wants to find a podcast, they will go to iTunes. And if they look at some shows on Wargaming and they see Wargaming Recon and they see another show and they see another show that has more reviews or better reviews than we do, they'll probably try that out, and they may not try us out. But if you leave a review by going to wargamingforums.com/iTunes, you can tell what you think about the show, you can give it 1 to 5 stars, and then people will see that and say, hey, this is fantastic, and listen to Wargaming Recon and spread the word. And by doing that, you help to, that's right, you help to grow the hobby. So that's just something to keep in mind. And then, of course, as always, you can get in touch with us. We're on Facebook. We're available via email, on Twitter. You can get all of this content by checking out the show notes for the episode, wargamingforums.com/WR125. That's wargamingforums.com/WR125. Go there, it'll tell you how you can leave us feedback and get in touch, but even more importantly, you'll have access to everything I discussed on the show, whether it's me talking or Aaron, the holiday gift guide with links to things, so that way you can just click and make your purchases or find out more information, all that sort of stuff. So thank you yet again for listening to this episode of Wargaming Recon. I hope that you get an easy and early start on your holiday shopping. As always, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter how much you have to do at work or at home, no matter how daunting things seem, I hope that no matter what, you need to keep on gaming. Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Casts,
you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon and all of the other podcasts that you know and love. Or you can always stream and download the latest episode of Wargaming Recon by heading on over to the show notes for that episode.
Hey there, this is Ben Gerber from Troll in the Corner, and I'd like to invite you to listen to my podcast, Indie Talks. Indie Talks is a discussion about independent publishing, where we take a look at indie games, the people who write them, and the people who play them. We're going to branch a little farther afield as well and talk to some independent television and movie stars and creators, as well as crafters, all of who are related to gaming in some way, shape, or form. So please join me on the Troll in the Corner Network at trollitc.com and give Indie Talks a listen.
Geeks Explicitly, new episodes coming at you every Thursday, talking about geek life. If you don't listen to Geeks Explicitly, then only at trollitc.com.
This is Andreas, Apprentice of the White Order. I would like to invite you to listen to my letters, a humble collection of my observations of the various beautiful and very, very dangerous creatures that inhabit my world. I hope you enjoy it as part of the Monsters of the Shattered World on Troll in the Corner at trollitc.com.
Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network. Visit www.trollitc.com for more information. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 license. Look for Wargaming Recon online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Stitcher Radio. You can learn more about this episode by reading the show notes on our blog. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by 127games.com, home of the cheapest Access and Allies miniatures. Find them at 12-7-games.com.